Welcome to Binary Jazz, a podcast about clicking on buttons in Zoom. It's all it's about all the time. It's just one button and it says got it, and we have to announce that we've got it every single time.
Have you noticed that when someone ends a meeting? Okay. when someone ends a meeting, the okay button is like a progress bar, and it clicks itself if you wait long enough.
Yes. And I always have a race. Like, I keep trying to click the thing.
Me both.
And I
the first time I saw it, I'm like, that's a weird choice to animate that button.
It's also it's the same thing with leaving a meeting where the meeting is over but not everybody has left yet, and the host hasn't quit the meeting yet. and like I set, so it was when I onboarded at my new job, there is like a Zoom etiquette thing that we went through, and one of the things that it suggested was to set your Zoom settings so it doesn't have the confirmation dialogue after you hit leave meeting to say, are you sure you want to leave this meeting? So I thought that was a good quality of life thing, so I did that. But now when I click on the leave button, I feel like it hasn't registered my there's no feedback, and I feel like it doesn't know that I clicked it, so I keep trying to click it. And then there's this thing where like I end up being somehow the last person leaving the meeting every single time, and I don't know how this is possible, because it's not like I don't click the leave button, it just doesn't kick me out.
It's your gift.
I don't know that was the case when I had the confirmation box. At least when I had the confirmation box, it was like, are you sure? I'm like, yes, I'm sure. And then it would, and then like, but I wasn't like. And now it's just, I have this weird, awkward thing where I keep clicking the leave button, and everybody else, I see everybody else dropping off the invitee list or whatever, like all the little boxes are disappearing. And then like, I'm in this awkward, like
getting more and more frantic
this weird, awkward meeting with like the host who hasn't quite closed the meeting yet. And they're still there and I'm there and I'm like, get me out of
here. Yeah.
You just love existing in that void space.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Really, really don't.
I'll say this, that like time between ending a meeting and being able to like get to leave the leave button, even with that option in place, is still an eternity, especially at the end of interviews. Well, it's been really great chatting with you and getting to know you today. Really appreciate your time. Thanks. And then it just lingers there. And it's just like, it felt awkward saying it. And now it's just like, it's just like awkward sunscreen I'm like lathering myself up in. Like, it's just like, I couldn't feel any more exposed until I find that damn leave button. I'm so thankful for hosts who are like, yeah, let's piece the hell out of here and kill it. And then I can chase that okay button until I realize that it's showing me that it's about to click okay, as opposed to me going, what a weird animation choice.
So this is a podcast with three people, this human beings on
like
the planet.
Seinfeld episode where we bitch about Zoom for 20 minutes.
I mean,
it's not 20 minutes. I'm exaggerating.
That's
7.5, which I always start.
Welcome to the pandemic. we've only been here for 2 years. I'm Chris, Jazz Sequence on the internet. This is Gary.
Like an eternity.
Binary Gary on the internet, and Allison Plus on the internet, and we do this thing where Allison sometimes brings a topic and Gary and I try to figure out what the topic is without actually knowing what the topic is generally, and that's the shtick.
We're about to enter our third March.
Oh, Jesus.
I will say, I recall, no, I don't want to do this. No, I'm not going to recall. No,
I'm not going to recall
anything. There's nothing worth recalling.
You're not baiting me into that.
Yes, it was.
I was
going
to talk about the episode we had very shortly before regulations started happening in the U.S. and before the U.S. started to experience things. I think it was shortly after maybe the first death in the U.S. potentially, and just that crazy stage when no one knew what the hell was going on and how concerned we all should be. And in those days, I mean, that was like pre-masking, you know, we didn't really understand transmission at that point, and seemed like it was only problematic for people over 65. I guess it was checking IDs. I don't know. But there was this just like, there was this like this phase that was really, really weird. I mean, it didn't get less weird. It just got less weird with more facts, I guess. No.
Let's see. I'm trying to go back to where we were. That would have been. Would have been 2019, right?
No.
Started in March 2020.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So here we are in January 2020.
Would have been late February, I believe. We probably had a chat.
More innocent conversation. Look at us. We've aged twice the number of years that I've actually.
Yeah, I've got the. You can't see it because of the lighting here, and I'm thankful for that. But I'm starting to get these like little gray pockets right here that are going to look really cool. Eventually.
Okay.
I think they'll actually be nice because they'll take dye really well. So I make it to do like flashes of like green and blue and pink on the sides of my head.
It depends on how your gray hairs turn out, though, because sometimes gray hair is drier than other hair. So.
Oh. Okay. Well, whatever.
I'd still say go for it, though.
I got to try. Yeah. Got to give it a shot. Because certainly with my dark hair, like putting any color on has been pretty ineffective generally. There was also
February 2020, Allison, you were on location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the last time I saw my parents.
I mean,
I'm hoping I'm going to see them this spring. I think I'm just going to take all the tests and figure out how to come to the States. So
it seems that from what I've read online, if you can get a large truck without enough horn, you can do whatever you want. So
yeah, I heard that too. With just some flags for Flourish.
interestingly, going back through the archives, February 28th in 2020. We have a note here that says the episode, we discussed reality according to Yellow Submarine and why bands don't make movies anymore. And this just in, I think Foo Fighters has made a movie. I saw a trailer on Twitter and I think it's a real movie with the Foo Fighters. It's like a horror movie called Studio 666. And I guess it's like, they try to record an album in a haunted studio. So this thing about why bands don't make movies anymore
sounds really good.
Yeah, except
I'm into the premise.
Except Foo Fighters.
I don't. I'm here for it.
I guess they're going on tour and they're coming to Victoria, which is kind of a big deal. Because nobody comes to Victoria.
Yeah.
Because the arena isn't as big as they would normally be playing, basically, and tickets sold out in like 3 minutes.
Would you where do you all stand on concerts right now? Are you comfortable going into crowds?
Not really.
I have been to two outdoor concerts.
Outdoor. Yeah.
Yeah. And we were gonna go see Churches in December. Mm-hmm. before the big re-Omicron surge, but they canceled due to weather, so we didn't end up going to that. But then when my parents came around New Year's, they wanted to go to the Jazz game, the Jazz and Warriors game, and we bowed out of that because at that point case numbers were spiking. Mm-hmm. And we were not very impressed by the arena's COVID precautions, which was everyone over 12 was required to mask. But at that point, if you were under 12, you have been going to school for 3-4 months.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and there's lots of people in school, and Utah sucks.
We had a 4-H achievement a couple of Fridays ago, and it was like, I mean, I give 4-H a ton of credit because there's no gray area. Everyone is required to wear masks. But there's also like, you know, there's probably going to be like 200 people there. I'm going, I don't know. I was like really on the fence. And so they shared a lot of information about the size of the facility. You know, it usually seats, you know, 800 people. We will be spread out on tables, blah, blah, blah. So 200 in this 800 person space, et cetera. Masks are required. Come if you're comfortable. And if you're not, no problem. Let us know. We'll hold your awards for you, et cetera. So we ended up going because both the older kids were getting the awards. So we went. And it is in this building that is attached to a local arena. And we pull in the parking lot. I'm like, what is going on? And there was a county wrestling tournament, high school wrestling tournament. There were hundreds of cars, thousands of people in this building next door. And like people walking in and out, clearly like masking was optional, no signage. And I'm like, my brain, it like cracked. I could like just feel my skull like cracking a little. Like it's just like an egg. I you just question, like, is this, like, did I lose it? Did I make all this up? Did this all happen in my head? It's so baffling. It's just so baffling.
Why would my head do that to me?
Well, and then I'm like, yeah, yes, there's like the validation things. Like, oh, well, no, obviously. Like, I remember like having conversations with unreasonable people who very clearly are still unreasonable people, but like, no, this is stuff that actually happened and it's continuing to happen. And it's like, how do you, I used to think like, oh, it's really fascinating that everyone has different realities. And now I think I am more in the position of it's really absolutely just horrifying and disastrous in all circumstances that everyone has different realities. And what a treasure it is when you bump into someone whose realities mostly overlap yours. So I'm glad your realities overlap mine for some.
Or a some weird Venn diagram, but aspect. It works.
Yeah. Yeah.
To well, back with to that... the original question of concert going, if yeah. it would have, for me, it would have to be someone that I've been wanting to see for ages if it was indoors.
Yeah.
But also, no one's coming to Vancouver Island, so we're good.
I haven't even looked to see where, like what's happening in Charlotte, because I'm not driving that far for anything, but also.
I bought tickets to see a show in next October, but it's in Vancouver, so we'll see. Who knows?
There's a new MLS team in Charlotte.
Yep.
I would like to go see them at some point.
You should.
I will give them a ton of credit too, because all of their marketing is both English and Spanish. Like they really are doing an excellent job in like building like a core fan base here, you know, a lot of really fascinating outreach and not to the local rednecks. So really smart. Really smart. I don't know how I've seen it.
Well, whatever they're doing is working.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
They start this year? Are they starting this year?
Yeah.
Yeah. We might actually pay attention to soccer this year.
I need a sport that's like, I need a sport, you know. We watched the NASCAR race yesterday. It ended with me in the living room jumping and beating on Tyler's back in excitement. And it was fun. I mean, it's fun. It's silly.
How long do those typically go? Like, how long are you watching the race from?
How long am I watching?
How long does the race go for?
It started 3 hours, maybe?
Three and a half hours.
A 500-mile race is 3.5 hours.
It's very fast. What does that break down?
That's the idea.
Let's see. 500 divided by 3.5 is roughly 143 miles per hour.
Yeah, they're hitting like 190-ish on straightaways and in corners. Jesus. Like 180-ish. So you have to throw in some cautions there. And there was a caution yesterday where a car got upside down. And in this day and age, because of like maybe not GoPro, but whoever, like high quality cameras like in bumpers. I mean, it's like well, let's pull the video from that car that that
flipped upside down,
right,
and
be,
then
well, no, the car was right behind it. So it's like, I mean, you're like watching like Transformers, but it happened like just then. This car got sideways, hit the wall, starts to roll, and like you're looking through the bumper and seeing this car like just go overhead. And it's like, it's, I mean, I'll have to share a link to the footage because that's like those snippets are worth watching, especially when you go, yeah, that guy got up and walked away perfectly fine, you know. It's
so if a car flips like that, like, is it ever like, is that ever like, oh, it's fine, we'll just keep going, or is it like the car is toast and that driver is out of the race?
Yeah, if it flips, it's probably out of the race. I guess there's a situation where it flipped and it didn't land on the roof and ended up back on the tires. It's possible that nothing was damaged. And those cars, like, as long as they can hit the gas pedal and they can go, they will keep driving them. There are regulations in NASCAR where it's like, if too much is falling off, you have to go tape things on. I mean, that's like,
that's practical. Yeah,
it is. But I mean, yesterday two cars lost wheels.
Those are rules. Those are rules for the normal cars out on the road now.
Yes. And that's where it falls into this, like, you know, like redneck soap opera thing, is it's like, well, the wheel fell off. Well, all right, we can drive on three wheels back to the pit. That brake is probably messed up, but we can still put a wheel back on. That car's back out on the track. You got three brakes. It's good enough. I mean, it, like, literally, like, it's, you know, they're racing. They'll if it can run, they'll keep running it. So they won't stop the race if somebody gets like sideways and spins and is able to kind of keep it roughly off the walls. Mm. They can scrape the wall, but if nothing falls off, they won't stop the race. If something falls off, they always stop it because they don't want punctured tires.
Right.
That becomes a liability.
Yeah, that's the liability.
Right. It's not the vehicles with humans strapped inside going 190 miles an hour. It's a tire coming or a wheel popping. Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to make the sponsor Goodyear look bad, right? Mm-hmm. Is it Goodyear? I don't even know who it is. See, missing the target demo here. Yeah. As though I would go out and buy those tires as a result of it.
I mean,
who is the tire sponsor?
Bridgestone.
It's Goodyear. Oh. It's Goodyear. Yeah. I think I have, I definitely have tires in the van, but I don't remember what kind.
Bridgestone.
I can't name any more tire brands, so I'm out.
I've got Bridgestone. Pirelli.
Michelin.
Oh, I have Michelins. Thank you. Yeah, because they're like the fat, like, mummy guy.
Yeah.
Michelin, yeah. Why? What is that?
Is he a mummy?
No, he's a tire man.
Oh.
He's a man made of tires, except all the tires are painted white for some reason.
Maybe that's why I thought he was a mummy, because it was just like, he's like wrapped in something white.
I was always confused, too. Like, I thought he was like a ghost or something. Yeah.
That makes a lot more sense than he made of tires. Yeah.
Yeah. that's why they're white. Okay.
All right.
Do we have a topic?
We do.
Excellent.
It is insouciance.
Ooh. Let's get a spelling for that.
I-N.
I-N.
S-O-U.
S-O-U.
C-I-A-N-C-E.
Okay. That's not how I thought it was going to be spelled.
Yeah, there was a C where I thought there was an S. There was some other stuff happening.
Well, I was thinking of the French word that I don't know what it means. I just know it's in food. That's like sous, like
sous vide. Yeah.
I mean, it's spelled sous, but it's sous. Yeah, like sous vide. Yeah. So I was thinking like, oh, well, it's the process of, I don't know, whatever that word means, doing that thing. It's ensuing, but it's not it's like a thing ensues, but it's like putting it in the soup sauce.
I didn't even think about that. That's so funny.
Here's a slight sequitur to that. It's a language thing. Katie's been reading a lot of Harry Potter, and Charlotte pronounces it Harry Potter, past tense.
Harry Potter.
I love that. Harry Potter, which I think that would be past. Yeah, that's past. Yeah, it just cracks me up when she talks about Harry Potter. Okay. For those you don't correct.
Yeah, so I think it's
can you say the word again?
Insouciance.
Insouciance.
Yeah. It's like insistence. It's a more formal version of being insistent.
I still think it's instead of adding the thing to the sous sauce, I think it's like immersing the thing in the sous sauce. just like dunking it.
What's
like,
the thing?
Whatever. Instantiating the turkey, or instantiating the tofu. Uh-huh.
It doesn't sound delicious.
No, no. It's. I mean, it. I guess it depends on the sauce, though.
No, true.
Gary is thoughtful.
It's
underwhelmed.
Yeah. It's a difficult one to like put a definition on because in my head I can't even figure out like what the root word is.
Well, I can tell you the root word is French.
Aha. Oui. So check that box.
But it's not necessarily the French word that Chris thinks.
No, I don't think it is.
Do you remember when en passant was a was the topic? It was a chess thing.
Mm-hmm.
Chess thing. I believe this is a chess thing. I guess is where I'm going.
You think that I would bring two topics of French origin that are related to the same thing?
Yeah, I think that this is a trap.
Oh, okay. Because so you think I'm crafty.
Yes.
I mean, you are crafty.
Yes.
In a variety of interpretations of that word.
Possibly.
Yes, this is like a, yeah, this is like a, this is a, oh, I know what this is. Oh, I know exactly what this is. In chess, this is when you bait your opponent into putting their bishop somewhere, and then you put a pawn in front of it in such a way that if they took that pawn, they would now lose their bishop to the pawn that's protecting that pawn. And so that is exactly what you have done here. You have baited us into thinking this has nothing to do with chess, when in fact, you have trapped our bishop behind a pawn. There's probably a better word, but that's probably not the word.
It's insouciance. All. Yeah.
That's just insouciance.
Yeah. It probably has nothing to do with chess, so. That being the case, I should abandon this route.
Never.
Yeah, that's one thing I will do on this show. I will commit to a bad idea until the end.
If not here, then where?
Yeah, I guess it's not limited to here. That's true. You make a good point. Many places.
I feel like the power to commit is it's good. It's a good thing.
Yes. I'm a living, breathing sunk cost fallacy. It's a bad idea. I'm gonna ride it.
Chris looks puzzled.
What's going on
over there?
I'm looking I was thinking about the word, and yeah. I was thinking about when you're a kid and you're watching daytime television, at least I am. Uh-huh. And it's like historical fiction, like Bonanza or something. And they're on a farm. And to gather the farm animals, particularly pigs, I think, you say, suey, right? That's a thing that I remember from television. Okay?
I had no idea where you were going with that. I was just like.
And then it occurs to me that that is a word. That is comes from a French origin that sounds like insouciance because it has that sous thing. So I was thinking of the sous, and I was like, what does that word actually mean? And it's actually just a piece of, like a part of the meat, I guess. I don't know, but that's what I thought of the thing.
What?
Ooh. Am I roboting?
No.
No, okay, but that was
are
weird.
We?
No, okay, you're not.
Yes.
Yeah, so that was a.
See, this is
a...
not helping, like, support the idea that this is actually happening.
Yeah, so insouciance has, I don't know. I was wondering what that word was, and it's, I guess you pronounce it suet. Although it could be suey, because
on Friday
Google is Friday, unhelpful in this regard.
My my visit to the nursing home and singing. And I was trying to think of a theme. So like 2 weeks ago, like the 12th or something, I don't know, 11th, whatever it was, before Valentine's Day, I'm like, oh, well, I'll do some like love songs, right? So I did All You Need Is Love and something by Elvis and blah, blah, blah. So this past Friday, I was thinking it would be fun, TV shows. So I did the Beverly Hillbillies and I did Gilligan's Island and the Flintstones and I don't know what else. But
Green Acres?
I didn't. I should have.
Next time, that'll be part two.
We so there's a there's a show that Aaron and I have been watching called Resident Alien that has Alan Tudyk in it.
Sorry.
Alan Tudyk plays an alien. And it's kind of darkly humorous. And anyway, at the end of one of the recent episodes, they played the MASH theme. And I literally have not even thought of the show MASH in at least 15 years. So like hearing the song was like, wow, I don't even know why I know this. Because I don't have any memories. Like I know that I watched the show probably, I guess, with my dad, maybe. I have no memory of the show itself. I know the characters. I know their voices. I know what the show is about. I have no memory of like watching it, like sitting in front of the TV and watching it. But I the song is like like boom nostalgia in like a really bizarre kind of way. It was very fascinating, and I was like, why do I even remember this?
I probably watched, I don't know, like a half dozen episodes here and there, like maybe on some of those days when I was homesick from school, you know, like, oh, MASH is on reruns on something. To that end, I think the best parody of MASH is when Futurama does their MASH episode. If you've seen that one, it's masterful. It just like, it captures that like dark, like desperation. That's like the undercurrent of everything. But like so on the nose in that Futurama sort of way, it's like it's. If I were a cartoon, or if I were in a cartoon, it would be Futurama. Yeah, that's it. Insouciance.
That's the tweet.
Resident Alien was filmed in my town.
Oh.
So in, you've technically been here.
in your current town.
Yeah.
Wow. I did not know that.
Claim to fame.
that is interesting, because the whole point of the fictional city of Patience, Colorado, is that it's this tiny little podunk town in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, because and they were filming another season, and we were like walking by, and there was just like, this happens a fair bit wherever I've been in Canada, but like. You'll be walking and then you're like, something's different. What's different? And then you like look around and you see an American flag, or then you see the US post box, and you're just like, because ours are like red and you know, very Canadian looking. I don't know. But
shaped like maple leaves, of course. Yeah.
Right, yeah. And sure. Like when I was in Toronto, like a New York cab would like be circling a block. You'd see like just like something would be slightly off and you'd be like, what's going on? Yeah. Small town Colorado is similar to small town British Columbia, apparently.
Well, that works.
Fun recording in our town story. Recently here in Concord, they were recording some movie and they needed like an old, like, you know, Americana downtown. And so in preparation, they like fixed up a storefront to make it look like a produce stand. And so both Ron and I remarked, like, did you see there's a new place opening up downtown that sells produce? And then we drove by and realized that's where they were filming. And then 2 days later, it was all gone. And we were like, damn, that would have been cool. But we were so jazzed for like 24 hours. We were like, this is going to fucking rock, y'all. We're going to walk downtown and load up a bag full of whatever produce, you know. Now we can only do it when the farmers markets open downtown like 20 times a year or whatever. So just 20 times a year instead of every day.
So, what is insouciance?
Insouciance is a casual lack of concern or indifference.
Wow. Like
Futurama.
Like yeah, just the general.
Like everybody's approach to COVID.
Yeah.
Oh fuck.
So casual lack of concern, speaking of, to use it in a sentence, Governor Cox, the governor of Utah, showed insouciance about the COVID-19 pandemic by requesting that all businesses in the state of Utah no longer mandate masks upon entry, and has made the statement that he hopes that the legislature does not need to pass a bill to ban mask mandates in businesses. Insouciance.
I would love that kind of insouciance in Florida, where the governor is actively like trying to punish school systems that required masks during the height of the pandemic.
Oh, we're not quite there, but we're not far off.
I love the idea of like not quite the Florida level yet.
I
just bide your time.
Yeah, it's...
that place has broken my heart a bit in the last, well, 2 years.
It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I used to say, when I lived in Jacksonville, like, I love this city and I will die here. Hmm. And we left and I'm like watching from the outside. I'm like, holy cow. Was that like some kind of like, what's the prisoner syndrome? Like, was I just.
Oh, Stockholm? Yeah. Yeah.
Stockholm. Yeah. Was that like Stockholm syndrome for me? Yes. In Jacksonville, or was
yes.
it?
Everybody who lives in Florida, I think, suffers from Stockholm syndrome.
But it's such a great place. Like, despite the alligators and meth and humidity and apparent like fascist government, it's a great place to be. Setting it all aside
into big piles of alligators and
no, you don't want to do that with the alligators. Then, that makes them mad. yesterday it was like 28 in the morning here, and by the middle of the afternoon it was like 65, and I walked outside and the sky was just this perfect shade of blue, and the birds are like, oh hell yeah, it's warm, and they were, you know, doing their bird thing, and the squirrels were running around, and for like a minute, like, I just sat there going like, this is like this, like, I want to feel this like so much more, like, I just want to feel like what this moment of life feels like. It was remarkable. It was just so remarkable. And I think in Florida, it gets to be 60 degrees for like 30 minutes a year. That's it.
There is a nice sweet spot of temperature there where you can really do so many activities because it's not too cold and not too warm.
And I don't mind, like when it gets like into the 90s, it's a problem for me. I don't even mind like the high 80s just because I was used to it. But even here, when it's in the 80s and the humidity's not so bad. Mm-hmm. It's
pleasant.
That's the word I can't find. Yes, it's nice. It's pleasant, as opposed to.
You've been living in Florida for too long. If you cannot think of the word pleasant,
you deserve all the pleasantness, Gary.
Yeah,
I joined several meetings for a little while in the summer from the children's pool. I would set my laptop in the like a little like end table, and I would throw a T-shirt on to be appropriate for work, and then hop down in this kiddie pool with like a floating like beach ball, and I would have my like huge like jug of lemonade and ice, just pouring myself drinks, and for team calls and back end developer calls for several months. It's so close. I can't wait to start working outside again. We have some rocking chairs behind the house now as well as on the side. So
it's not so close here. It actually snowed last night and this morning. So yeah. Not so much. It'll be a while before it gets here.
I mean, I think I get that, but also like it's just it's threatening, you know?
Yeah.
Like maybe that glimpse yesterday and the glimpse we had like the Saturday prior were just glimpses, but it's like that like ray of like it's coming is just so magical. So magical. Seasons are cool. That's what
the moral, and cool. And Gary has never experienced seasons.
I have not. This is
in
true.
In two seasons.
See, I actually care about it. That's the difference.
Yeah.
There's like a deep caring about it. I can't wait until I can like resume like my walking at 6 a.m. Like I've kind of stopped that because it's just so dark and cold. Mm. So I fit it in wherever. But like when I can get, I mean, we're not far where it's going to be bright enough in the morning that I can go for a walk at 6 a.m. and feel like safe. And to like start to see like what's changed on my route since I was last doing this every day. And then like going full speed into spring and like, oh, here's the bunnies hopping out. And like, oh, geez.
Do you have any gardening planned?
Not really. No, we are constantly like, we just got like 3 new plants yesterday or 2 days ago. I don't know. We constantly are like acquiring plants. People just like hand out plants here, like business cards or something. I don't know.
It's just here's like, a clipping.
I mean, it literally is like you run into someone like, oh, wait, hold on. Let me get you a whatever. And you're like, okay. And you, yeah. So yes, constantly. I know the nursery I'm going to go to this year to buy tomato plants. We're going to give tomato plants a run, but I'm not going to plant them until the middle of April. At my neighbor's suggestion, who had like a million. Mm. Actually, now that I'm saying this, I should just eat his tomatoes. I should figure out what else I should plant and trade with him. Although he did. Did I show you all the cucumber? Or not cucumber. Zucchini last year. He grew a zucchini that was like the size of like a small child.
Yeah. If you don't pick it off the plant, it'll just keep growing.
So he's like, I don't know what to do this thing. I'm like, well, our zucchini patties.
Aaron's mom keeps them on the vine for a really long time, so she gets these monster zucchinis that are just ridiculous.
Allison, fact number 117 is I don't eat zucchini.
Oh, okay.
It's probably the one vegetable that I just can't do.
Is it the texture or is it the?
No, I just don't like the taste. Hmm.
It should be
I'm sure if you fry it enough, I'd probably
yeah.
eat it.
But. Yeah, I mean, I fry everything, so.
Yeah.
Zucchini and squash are like a go-to for me mm-hmm. in the summer. Just...
Oh, I can do zucchini and... bread.
Mm.
Because
it's mostly just like pumpkin
it's
bread.
It's mostly with... sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there such a thing as gluten-free zucchini bread?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the answer is of course, but.
It's gluten-free everything. I mean, if you make it, it's
there's
it exists.
A whole alternate universe of gluten-free things over yeah. here.
We're looking at doing some sliders soon. We need some gluten-free sliders, and I'm struggling.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Special thanks to Serpiente Negra Ensemble for the use of their tracks for our intro and outro music. You can find them online at serpientenegra.bandcamp.com. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the forum on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.